We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour, we'll be interviewing Dr. Baruch Davidov, who is a layperson in all things, living in England, in Great Britain, in London. And he, in the course of his spare time, has put out a new edition of Maimonides' magnum opus, Yad HaChazaka, known as the Rambam, and with insights and commentaries, making it accessible for everybody. It's an amazing work. You're going to love this one. The portion of the week which we'll be discussing in the next half hour is Bamidbar. We're beginning the book of Numbers with Numbers 1:1. We've got a wonderful selection of a cappella music. This is the last week for a cappella music, as next week we'll already be preparing for Shavuos, and we'll be able to listen to music. Then we've got a great story all the way at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. An Israeli soldier was killed in a stone-throwing attack in the Palestinian Authority-controlled town near of Jenin. The incident occurred while the soldier's unit was arresting a number of wanted suspects. Israeli soldiers, in response, shot and killed a Palestinian teen during clashes while looking for the assassin. In related news, an Israeli soldier was seriously injured in a car ramming near Hebron as violence there escalates. Israeli troops shot and killed a Palestinian driver as he drove quickly towards IDF soldiers. Arabs on a tractor destroyed wheat fields north of Jerusalem. One Israeli farmer was run over and taken to the hospital in moderate condition. One Arab was arrested. An Israeli who made millions of dollars smuggling pipes and concrete into Hamas in Gaza was convicted of crimes that damaged the security of the State of Israel. He faces up to 25 years in prison. 1,300 Jews from France have died of COVID, about 5% of all COVID deaths in France. 324 Jews in Britain and 266 Israelis have also died of COVID. According to the Anti-Defamation League, 2019 saw a record number of anti-Semitic acts in the U.S. The 2,100 incidents recorded in 2019 is a 12% increase over 2018. The U.S. Senate unanimously approved the Never Again Education Act, giving $10 million in funding for Holocaust education in American schools. I would say $10 million? Big deal. The House approved the bill in January. The president is expected to sign it. And finally, the Missouri House passed a bill that would prevent the state from doing business with companies that boycott Israel, making Missouri state number 31 to do such a thing. The bill is expected to be signed by the governor, and that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in a growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hey, Michigan. Did you know that filling out the census helps fund life-saving medical programs?
Money for Medicare, Medicaid, and My Child is directly tied to your participation, and you can complete all 9 questions in about 10 minutes.
So be sure to fill out the census this spring and count everyone in your home. When everyone counts, everyone wins.
To learn more, please visit myvoicecounts.org. That's mivoicecounts.org.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. I am on with Dr. Baruch Davidoff, who has from England, all the way from England. He's a dentist and in his spare time has published a new edition of Maimonides' magnum work, the magnum opus, known as Yad HaZakah, a thorough compendium of Jewish law. How are you today, Baruch?
Baruch Hashem. We're good to hear.
Okay, so you've written a new edition of what's called the Rambam. That's how we're going to refer to it from now on, rather than saying Rambam's magnum opus of called Yad HaZakah, which is a encompassing work of encompassing the entire scope of Jewish law, because that's too long to say. So we're just going to call it the Rambam from now on. So tell us a little bit about what is this book, Rambam?
Well, it's it's a book of halachas. It covers the whole of the oral law. And in 1984, the Lubavitcher Rebbe encouraged us to try and learn through the whole Mishneh Torah in either a one-year cycle, which covers 3 chapters a day, or to learn 1 chapter a day over 3 years. Or if one would like something even simpler, one could learn just the scriptural mitzvahs, which was in the book Sefer HaMitzvahs, which run concurrently with the 3 chapters a day. So at that stage, a little bit later, actually, I started learning Rambam with my children. And even although, you know, the halacha is easier than the Talmud, but it was still an area of difficulty for my young children at the time. And so I made a decision to try and summarize it for myself and for them so that we could get some kind of grip, some kind of access into the Rambam. That's when it started, 2003, about 17 years ago.
Okay, so a little bit about the Rambam. The Rambam, what we're talking, was written and composed in the mid-1200s, and I helped work on the footnotes, because the Rambam was actually, as it expanded in America, taking down the lamb. He was actually escaping Spain and traveling across North Africa when he wrote it and didn't have his books and didn't put any footnotes in. So Lubavitcher Rebbe in 1984 asked that the Kollel, which is the division of the yeshiva that I was in at the time, to find all the footnotes. Where did the Rambam get all this stuff? And it was quite a formidable task, as you could quite imagine, because it took up, we're talking 14 volumes of Jewish law. So let's talk about it now. So where was your headspace that you started learning? How, at what year? The Rebbe said that we should start learning in 1984. About personally, when did you start learning it? And what was it that convinced you that you should start learning it, Baruch?
Well, I started 2003, and I had, we got a big family, but 2 of my sons, one was about 12 and one was about 9 at the time. So we sat down in our living room and we started reading one law at a time. Reading the Hebrew and translating. So we tried to do 1 chapter a day. And we went around one law at a time, and it was a struggle. I remember it was actually the second book, Sefer Ahava, right at the very beginning of the second book. And that's when I actually decided to make an English summary, and I've got handwritten notes for about, must have been for about a year, just handwriting notes. And as that was the start, and as I got into it, new ideas started cropping up and developing it further, thinking about it more. And it didn't last really long, our actual kvias, which we had every day. It probably lasted a few months and then fizzled out. But I had no intention of doing anything big. I just kind of gradually caught my imagination, and it became almost the front of my life, really, besides my work.
Understood. Yeah, but 2003, there were English translations readily available. Did you take advantage of those?
We had right from the beginning, even though I wasn't learning Rambam seriously, right from the beginning when the Rebbe started it, we had it's either the Oxford or the Cambridge.
I think we had the Yale University ones that we had over here.
At Yale, yeah. It was very, very one of this old English kind of translation.
It might as well have been Oxford or Cambridge, the way it was written.
You needed
a teacher to tell you what the English was talking
about.
Yes,
that's right. You need a translation of the English. But the Tauge translation came out much later. That's the only one I think we had at the time. We had the, could be the Yale, yes, what you're mentioning.
Yeah, so, okay, so now you've got these summaries. And so now, so you've gone through it, and people who do it three chapters in a year, finish it the whole year. And if they're doing it three chapters a day, they're doing it in a year. And one chapter a day, they're doing it in 3 years. Okay, so now you've written down the summaries. Did it take you basically 3 years to write down all the summaries?
Well, no, it started off very brief because it's actually probably starts out from my dental medical education, where we had huge amounts of information to digest and remember. And the way I used to study was I used to make summaries, because otherwise you couldn't really get to grips with the whole thing. So my initial summaries were very brief. And as I was working through it, and I saw that it could be useful, possibly useful for people, I then understood that my summaries were okay for me, which I had already knew what the chapter was about, but for someone just reading the summary, it was too brief. So I then decided to shorten the summaries that I had already made, to make them very short.
You summarized the summaries?
No, so I made the ones that I had, which were like medium kind of summaries. I made them much shorter, and then I started making a brand new, much more comprehensive summary. So it was like starting again, all over again, and making two lots of summaries. So one which was very, very brief, and one which was completely on the other side of the spectrum, much longer. And then all different ideas were developing. You mentioned that you were working on the footnotes of the Rambam.
That's right.
I got wind that the Rebbe wanted the references. The Rambam didn't get, I suppose because his life was not possible for him to write down the actual source references. And I remember getting wind that the Rebbe wanted those references. So really I took a diversion at one point, and there's a very nice set of Mishnayos. It's called Mishnah Behira. Where they got a lot of diagrams, and I had in mind that maybe diagrams would be very useful. And I was moving into the Mishnayos, where the Rambam had got the halachas from, the laws. And I hadn't got permission from the publishers yet, but I had in mind to get permission from them at some stage to try and transfer the diagrams, very beautiful diagrams of the Mishnayos, into the Rambam and include the references, which where the Mishnayos came from. But then that really took me on a wild goose track, because it was a huge amount of work. The computer wasn't handling all the diagrams that we were loading up onto it. And then I heard that that there was a yeshiva who had gone very, very efficiently and tracked down all the references which the rabbi wanted, produced a book, and I then came back to Earth and continued with my summary. Another very interesting idea which I got early on is that I wanted to hyperlink the Rambam, because I found there were a few things which I really wanted the summary to portray. That number one was that I wanted to, when you learn Rambam, it's like going through a forest. You lose track of the actual scriptural Torah mitzvah. So I really went through, it could have been a third time round that I went through now and started to track and highlight as the listed Torah mitzvahs of the Rambam came up in Mishneh Torah. I would make sure that I highlighted it in the perek, the chapter in my summary. So that was something of importance to me in summarizing it, that I did not want to lose track of the Torah mitzvahs. So that was a new aspect of the summary, which I went through and highlighted very carefully exactly which prokim the mitzvahs were located, so they could stand out. And when I'm learning the halachas, I would want to know what mitzvah this relates to. And this made it much clearer for me to understand the Rambam.
Okay.
Let
me just interject. Our guest today is Dr. Boruch Davidov. He's from England and has published a new edition of the Rambam with elucidations. We call it the Summaries of the Rambam. It's a wonderful set. I have it sitting on my shelf. And I'm using it extensively when I'm learning Rambam. And I encourage people who are not yet, the Rebbe's request was that everybody has an obligation of learning the entire Torah. And by learning Rambam himself says in his introduction that the Talmud is so vast, and there's other things that were included in the Rambam when he wrote it in his magnum opus, the Mishneh Torah, that one could basically fulfill their obligation for learning the oral tradition. So we strongly encourage it, whether it be one chapter, three chapters, whatever it is, but definitely, I'm saying right now that Dr. Davidov's summaries definitely are a tremendous boon, and I recommend highly that everybody listening go out and get a copy. Go ahead, Dr. Baruch, continue with what you were saying.
So I'm trying to explain why it took so many years. It was just going over each time with new ideas. So the one I just explained was highlighting the scriptural mitzvahs, the Doraisa mitzvahs. The next idea, which was very essential to me, was I wanted to hyperlink in the Rambam, because the Mishneh Torah is Kol HaTorah Kulo, so it covers huge numbers of subjects. And then when you're learning one subject and one side of the Rambam, and you come up with an aspect on the other side of the Rambam, you just don't remember it. So I wanted to be able to pull down from all different areas, to call them reminders. As I'm learning one aspect of the Rambam, I would, if in case I want to refresh on something, I would be able to pull it down into the learning, the current learning. So I then started going through the Rambam again, and I started locating areas which would be of interest to hyperlink. And I made what I called tables. They could be the regular tables, which one understands as a table, and they could be text tables, which for communication purposes, when I was doing the publishing, the publishers, we called them cards, because they weren't actually tables. And we made literally hundreds of tables and cards, which we then put aside. And as we learning the Rambam, I would then bring these reminders from other places in the Mishneh Torah. I would draw them into the current learning. Once we had the cards and the tables, I then came upon the idea that it would be better to put these cards and tables into subject order. So there could be a, which we called packs of tables. We called them packs. So it could be, say, Kohanim. You'll find Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. You'll find tables of the Kohanim in Tumah and Tara, in purity laws. You'll find talks about Kohanim in marital laws. So all these areas where we had tables and cards, we would draw them into a subject pack called Kohanim. And these tables and cards and packs of tables is what we then use to hyperlink the different parts of the Rambam. And of course, that brought us onto digital technology. So our book is quite unique in that it is a hard book, and we have built a website with lots of other aspects to it, but mainly to hyperlink and draw down from the cloud. As one is learning, one can draw down a reminder onto one's mobile phone or a mobile device. So it's really, it was, the preparation was a number of cycles of learning of the Rambam with lots of new ideas. They're still in the development. There's still lots of ideas in the pipeline and still being developed.
Okay, so let me ask you then, Barak Davidov, who has put together this new edition of the Rambam. You said before about including diagrams. So are the halachas, it would be way cool if you could say, like in learning the laws of Erevin, which is like enclosures. And there is a commentary called the Pirush Chai that he basically went through the page by step by step in the Talmud and drew a picture of what the Talmud is talking about. If you could hyperlink that so that if I get stuck, what is it talking about? I can go to your website, click on the law, the chapter and the paragraph that I'm learning, click on it, and there's a paragraph.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You've done that or you're doing that?
Well, this is definitely one of the feedback items which people have put as a want. And at the moment, we've definitely got that in our mind to try and do, but it's you know, there's a lot of copyrights. I don't know how to get around it yet, but we are making inquiries and people would love to see more diagrams. It's something which is, we are thinking about, yes.
Okay, that's a wonderful thing. Again, our guest today is Barak Davidov, who is not, it made a point to me, he's not a rabbi, and is actually coming through this through a layman's perspective, and it all come out of not having a rabbinic approach to learning the Rambam, but learning it as the Rambam had run it. I mean, the whole reason why the Rambam, Maimonides, wrote this book was so that a milkman should know what to do, because this way he wouldn't have to like travel through and traverse the entire sea of the Talmud. We could just take a volume and say, oh, I have a question about what I should do and how I should pray, and take out the book on prayer, and it would all be right there. And that seems to be that you're basically fulfilling the Rambam's goal then, Barak.
Yes, it was originally written just for my children, so it was not scholarly, meant to be a scholarly work. But of course, as we kept getting new ideas and working on it, it became much larger. And my main target audience was people who were just outside of the ability to learn Rambam, to make it accessible for everyone. But in truth, what we're finding is that people who are already learning Rambam are finding that it's enhancing their studying of the Rambam. So even though it's not reaching to that scholarly level, which people who are really into Rambam learning would like to see it at, it has developed into having a very broad coverage of the type of people who are making use of it and who are learning the Rambam. But I've had feedback from some people who have never ever picked up a Rambam, and because there's different levels of summary, people can go in at a very, very simple level. I've had feedback of people saying, you know, wow, it's I've never ever thought that I could learn the Rambam, and I've now find it accessible. We've got a few reviews on the website of people who have been learning it, but it was originally primarily meant for, as you say, people who anyone at any level to be able to access and be able to learn the Rambam.
Okay, so now you started writing these things for yourself, for your kids. At what point did it snowball into this massive project that when I saw it, I just like went, whoa, this is a lot. So, because there's a difference between like having a couple of notes and then turning it into, I think 16 volumes. How many volumes is it?
There's 11 volumes right
11
now.
Volumes.
But there's, yeah.
So well, what made you realize that this had to go out to the world, Baruch?
I didn't ever think of it that way, I must tell you. I can't tell you why I got excited about it. I really can't tell you. But as it got bigger, then for sure, I obviously realized I'm writing it for I'm thinking about an audience. But I'm also the kind of person that, once I set my mind to something, tenacious to go through to the end. I mean, my background is also a bit of a long distance runner, so I kind of got that tenacity if I start something. And why it fired me, I don't know. I got no idea. I never ever intended to. I never imagined. I still don't imagine how I ever got to making such a big work. But as it developed and new ideas come in, and it just becomes very exciting. And the other interesting thing about the Rambam learning is that you can learn one halacha and at a time and pick up. For example, if I was at work and I was between two patients, it's easy to pick up and learn 3-4 halachas. It's not something you have to sit down for an hour to try and get into it. So it's something you can fit in anywhere. You're on the underground, London Underground, you can be learning. You can learn anywhere.
That's the subway in America, yes.
Yes, the subway. You could be anywhere. You could be between activities. And whatever you learn, you learn. It's actual practical halacha. It's a very easy subject to fit in, squeeze in, to really maximize on time. So that was all part of the enthusiasm that's built up. And of course, new ideas are exciting. And one of the very difficult parts of it was when the whole Rambam was finished, as it were, and then I realized that it could be a publication. There is so much editing and so much proofreading and so much hassle that goes into actually the publishing. It was, I think, 5 years of work after the work was finished. So that's another aspect.
The advocation became a business.
Yes. And well, it's yes, I've done this not as a business. It's not at all my business, but I know what you mean. Yes, that's right.
It's taken off, and now you've got the headaches of marketing and getting a distribution and
yes, marketing. That's right.
All of that. So since we're up to that, so if someone now, hopefully people have been listening for the last 20 minutes or so, might be excited to get their hands on a copy of it. What are we officially calling it, Baruch?
Well, the studying Rambam series. That's the group name of the. Of the series, Studying Rambam series.
Studying Rambam. Okay. And what is the website where one might be able to peruse and take a look at it, get a taste of it?
Yes. Yeah, so the website is rambampress.com.
That's easy enough. RAMBAMPRESS.com. Very easy. That's good. I'm glad you didn't do it like some kind of very long.
That's right.
Multisyllabic, requiring to spell type website. And for American distribution, where might one procure a copy?
Well, it's on, you can order direct through us. Probably that's the best way on our website.
RambamPress.com.
Yes. But it's also on Amazon and Kahoot online, and all the Ingram outlets, it's available. Those are the main areas. We should. Quite a few shops have got them already, but we haven't quite reached out fully to the shops yet.
Okay, wonderful. That's going to do it. Do you have any? This seems like, this is an aside, when I started working on finding the footnotes and the notations for the Maimonides work back in 1984, so I worked on it for about 6 months, and then I left town, went off on my way. And as did most of the group there, but there was one person who was left in New York, and till this day, he still spends time looking for footnotes that haven't been found. And every once in a while, a pamphlet will come out of addendum to the work. So I'm assuming this is what's going to happen with you, Barak Davidov, that this is never going to end for you.
Well, I'm not unhappy about that. It's a beautiful, Sefer, the Rambam's work is a beautiful work to be involved with.
Okay, that's going to do it for us. I want to thank you so much for coming on. And again, if people wanted to take a look at it, peruse with the website, it's actually quite fascinating. It's Rambam Press, RambamPress, RambamPress, oneword.com. And we wish you continued success.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the inviting me to your show. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. We're going to be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Encompass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that can benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Hey, Schulperman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Yes, if you or someone you know is experiencing symptoms of COVID-19, and you can look online what those are, you'll want to give a call immediately. Dr. Bruce does teleconferencing. I think the initial visit, initial conference consultation is free. That's 248-624-9800, 624-9800. Up next, for your listening pleasure, the group is Shir Solo. The song is called Main Olam Haba. The Sabbath is just like the world to come.
Pidusenu satzmiya Venas yago ba'anacha Me'en olam haba Yom Shabbos menucha Kolam mesangim ba Yisku lerom simcha Me'en olam haba Shabbos Menucha, eh eh, oh oh oh, na 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 na, hey, oh 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 oh, Yom Shabbos Menucha, Mechev leMashiach, Yitzalu leRavacha. Pidusenu satzmiach Venas yagom ba'anacha Me'en olam haba Yom Shabbos menucha Kol ha'misangim ba
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Here you're listening to the Jewish Hour for your listening pleasure. Next, this is the Y Studs. It's a group from Yeshiva University. The song is called "V'ahavta Lerayacha Kamocha." Love your neighbor as yourself.
A little Milah. Jeder einer davent im Bett im Wahr, fahr mich hier, hey will schon kommen, hey warte dir in mir. Weh, oh, habe doch, ah, wie oh, hab doch, lehre ich auch, ah, wie oh, hab doch, lehre ich auch, komm, oh, ich oh, ah, ah, כולנו חברים, כולנו מתפללים ומחכים למשיח, כבר רוצה להגיע, מחכה לחבריה.
Filling out the census helps fund life-saving medical programs.
Money for Medicare, Medicaid, and My Child is directly tied to your participation. and you can complete all 9 questions in about 10 minutes.
So be sure to fill out the census this spring and count everyone in your home. When everyone counts, everyone wins.
To learn more, please visit myvoicecounts.org. That's mivoicecounts.org.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Show. We got time for one more. This is Maccabees. This is classic a cappella. Ready? It's called Row Bunim. Look, our children.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. This week's portion is the portion of Bamidbar. It can be found at the beginning of the book of Numbers and following. And this portion is always read before the holiday of Shavuos, which is coming up next week. That would be the May the 20th. It's a Thursday and a Friday, May the 28th at night, so it's the 29th and the 30th. So next Shabbos we'll be talking about Shavuos, yay, next week. Anyway, so in this week's portion, so if it always comes before, it must be a connection. There's lots of connections, tons. We're going to make one that's not usually made right now, and that is that in the portion, it talks about the redemption of the firstborn. As we know from those who have been following along with the story, that 40 days after the Jews got the Torah, the Jews perpetrated the dastardly deed of worshiping the golden calf. And Moses at that time said, whoever is for God should come with me, follow me. And his tribe, the Levites, en masse followed him. So because the firstborn who were supposed to work in the temple were disqualified because of their participation, or at least they're not refusing to object, they were disqualified. And they did a one-to-one count of all the firstborn, and they exchanged one Levite for one firstborn. And it came out that there were 272 extra firstborn. And what they did at that time, what we're still doing today, is the father of the firstborn gives 5 shekelim of silver to a Kohen, to a priest, and he gets to keep his son. Now, what has this got to do with Shavuos, I hear you asking? Well, Shavuos, it says that 4 days prior to Shavuos, the Jews were declared v'atem tiyuli mamlachas kayanim v'goy kadosh, that you are to me a nation of priests and a holy nation. That means to say that even though it's true that there's a distinction now between the Levites and the firstborn, that the firstborn don't have the rights to that they had that were given up, were taken away from them, but we still have to recognize that we are still priests to God, servants to God. In Judaism, a person can't say, you know, the clergy people, they're gonna do the stuff for me. They're going to be the religious ones. They're the ones that are going to go to services. I'm going to kick back and chill. They'll have me in mind. No, it doesn't work that way. I can't do a mitzvah for you. You have to do it yourself. And what this does is it levels the playing field. In Judaism, there is no one person who's better than any one person. And indeed, we're all able to accomplish the same. Me putting on tefillin this morning, I'm not going to go into that now, it's exactly the same as Moses putting on when he put on. The accomplishment was exactly the same because in Judaism, where you are, or we are, atem tiyu mamlachos kohanim, a nation of priests. That was not taken away from us. That will never be taken away from us. We're here to be the servants of the Almighty. And this is, the saying goes, with power comes responsibility. And we have, everyone has that responsibility. And this then is how we're going to show ourselves and dedicate ourselves to the celebration of the holiday of Shavuos, which of course we'll talk about next week. And this holiday is considered, you might say, the most important holiday on the calendar. That were it not for the giving of the Torah, we wouldn't have any other holiday. On the contrary, there wouldn't be any Judaism. So like this, the holiday of Shavuos is very important that we have to recognize it, and not only recognize it, but as we say, the holidays just aren't observed just for those days, but rather we take the lesson of the holiday and we live with it for the whole entire year. And the holiday of Shavuos is when the Jews said, Nasa v'nishma, we will do whatever the Almighty says, with complete and utter faith, and we'll understand what it is the Almighty wants to. We'll ask those questions. Why do we have to do it? We'll do it, even if we don't understand, but we're going to ask the questions, which it says that the Almighty was more impressed with the fact that he said we're going to want to understand why are we doing what we're doing. And everything we do does have an answer. We have an obligation to figure out why. Speaking of why and figuring things out, we've got to go for a quick commercial break, followed by a really awesome Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Encompass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finminer, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com. You'll find a way to get in touch with me, of course. You'll find archived editions of the radio show. You'll be able, of course, to listen to the radio show. That's one of the places, along with iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever else people listen to podcasts. You'll be able to listen to it there. You're also able to listen to it on my Facebook page, HerschelFinman.com, Herschel Finman at Facebook, or Facebook at Herschel Finman, whatever they do that. And we do when when we record the show at 11 o'clock on Fridays, 11 o'clock-ish on Fridays, you'll be able to listen to the show then. And you don't have to wait till Sunday when it goes, when it's posted. And it's a good thing. You'll also find on RabbiFinman.com, the donations page. Yep, we still need donations. It's still, you got to pay to play. And we're hoping that you will help support. We've been on air 25 years, and which is quite a feat in and of itself. And it's all because of listeners like yourself. We are our sponsors do help, but the brunt, and it's always been the brunt of the cost of maintaining the Jewish Hour, and it's amazing that we get it every single month. We do get it, and hopefully you'll go to RabbiFinman.com. And you will help support the show. This week up at Jewish Ferndale. So on Sunday is an art class on asymmetry. That's at 4 o'clock. These are all on Facebook, Herschel Finman Facebook class. Hannah Finman will also be doing a book review on Jewish gardening. That's on Tuesdays at 7. Tanya class is 9 o'clock on Monday nights, and they all stay on Herschel Finman Facebook page. So if you miss it, you didn't get a chance, you can check those out. Those are really good. And every Friday night at sundown, so on Herschel Finman Facebook live streaming, Hannah Finman lights the Shabbos candles. The next week she'll be on Thursday night because it's a holiday of Shavuos, and it's all good. So now, the story takes place over 200 years ago. A disciple of the Baal Shem Tov by the name of Yosef was an innkeeper. And it happened in the city of Kovno, which today is in Lithuania. Then, I believe it was either in Poland or Russia. And it just depended on what week of the month it was that what country Kovno was in. So he had an inn. And a bunch of soldiers were passing through, and they were billeted. And it was Friday night. The general, who was the commanding officer, gave some money to one of his subordinates and said, go buy me a bottle of wine. So they went to the inn where this Yosef was and said, the general wants a bottle of wine. Said, I'm not going to sell it to him. It's Friday night. So he went back. the corporal went back and said, the Jew refuses to sell it to him. He said, you go back and tell that Jew that if he doesn't give me a bottle of wine, there's going to be serious trouble. So the soldier came back with the keys to the inn and said the general can take whatever he wants on the house. Now the general went from being angry to curious, and he said, let me talk to this Jew. So he went and he found the house, and he knocked on the door, and the door was open, and he was led into this house where they were celebrating the Sabbath. The kids were dressed nicely. The table was laden wonderfully. He's wearing his general's uniform. This Yosef greeted him warmly and said, "Please come in, sit down." He said, "I don't understand." He said, "You refused to sell me a bottle of wine, but you gave me the keys to your inn to take whatever I wanted." He said, "Listen, there's a creator of the world, and he said that there should be no business done by Jews on the Sabbath. But now, since you're in my house, please be my guest." And he instructed one of his kids to go down and bring up a really good bottle of liquor. And the general was just totally and completely impressed with the hospitality of Yosef. He, upon leaving, ran, took out a gold coin and wanted to give it. He said, "Nope, I told you, we don't do business. If you're a customer, I can't talk to you, but you're my guest. Have a good evening." So he told them, let's just get rid of that. So he told them, "If ever I can help you, I will." Some 20 years passed, and there was a revolt, and Yosef got caught up in it somehow, and he got arrested. He was charged that the leader of the revolt, who was a frequenter at his inn, so guilty by association. He says, who was the judge of the case? Was his general. When he took one look at Yosef, he said, "I'm dismissing the case." And I know that he would not be part of it. And he lives. Happy liver after. So you can bring up the music underneath me, please, Tony. That's going to do it for the week. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We'll be getting ready for Shulis next week. Take care.